Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Brought to you by Baptist Health and by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now. Right now.
From the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, this is Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Jeff Loggeman. After the Gus Bradley show on the Jaguars radio network.
I think the coach is a little fired up for tomorrow night.
I believe so.
He is ready.
He's raging, as they would say.
No, he's not raging.
He's energetic. He's ready to go for tomorrow night. The first preseason game, of course, tomorrow night as the Jaguars welcome the Pittsburgh Steelers here at Everbank Field. First game out, we'll talk about some of your guys' first times out on preseason games and how long you might have gone into the ball game, and some of the guys that are down for tomorrow for the Jaguars. A few starters are out, and maybe some playing time. You heard a little bit of that from the coach, but he didn't want to get too detailed on that earlier today.
And the reason why that he didn't want to get detailed, and he didn't say this over there, is that he said that, look, we don't communicate to the players exactly, you know, what they're going to get. He said, we have an idea of what each player will get. He says, but they don't know, and we don't want them to know. As he said, because he doesn't want players like me and Tony did, and that's count plays.
Now you're going to
count plays, make plays count.
Snaps.
I like that slogan.
I stole it from Tom Coughlin.
I
was counting plays.
I counted every one of them. Here I did, you know.
The first and fourth.
First couple years, you didn't have a preseason because I tore your knee up.
Yeah. Thanks.
But I mean, the first couple years, you weren't even thinking about counting plays. You were working on quality reps, you know, because you wanted to establish, you know, you as yourself as a player. But once you became established, then you got to the point where you're like, hey, look, I just want to get through this healthy, and make some steps improving to get ready for the opener.
Was there any kickback for you hurting his knee in the preseason?
No.
It was a benefit because then I got a golf cart and he jumped on. I drove him around.
Yeah, I got a golf cart ride every now and again. The benefit was that I didn't have to go against him in practice.
Right. But there was no, like, the coaches didn't
trying
say,
to think,
hey,
was your backup?
Punish you.
The guy that we got from Green Bay.
No, Bruce was Bruce.
What was his last name?
I can't think. But Novak played left tackle the first three games.
Yeah, but it was early in training camp. It was Bruce who did make the team.
Yeah, yep.
I can't remember his last name. So many guys, you know, you had training camps. Hard to remember all of them. You know, hit the head too many times, too. A little bit to do with it. But
I'm sure it has a lot to do with it.
Sure.
Yeah, Bruce, and then because Brian DeMarco was the right tackle.
Yep, he was the right tackle. We didn't have a very deep football team back in 95 when I tore up his knee.
No.
There you have it. What's the longest you ever played in a preseason game, Lux?
You know,
we played three quarters. Preseason game was three quarters. I remember the game that Mark got hurt up in New York. Tom was so mad. I think we were only supposed to play like quarter and a half. We played like two and a half quarters. I mean, it was something crazy. But I played three quarters one game. I remember that.
I remember we had games where we played three quarters, and I remember one preseason game in particular because. The starters were – now, it might have been the first. It was early on. It was 95. And they told you basically, okay, first game, first two games or whatever, whichever one it was, that you were going to play a certain number of plays. And they didn't give you a count but a ballpark.
Yep.
And then once you were done, you were done. And you take the tape off of your wrist, you know, because you're not going back in. And I remember – done in the first half, you know, the tape is off of my wrist. I've got the tape off, you know, the spat on the shoes. It's off. And in the fourth quarter, the game is really close. I mean, really, really, really close. And Tom Coughlin turns and looks at me and at the crunch time of fourth quarter and goes, "You ready to go back in?"
You're like, no.
I haven't played in like quarters.
Back is stiff.
I don't even have tape on.
The shoulder pads are over on the bench.
No, we weren't allowed to take shoulder pads off of Tom.
No. He was so competitive. He was like, go back in there. We need some pass rush to win this 2-minute drill. I'm just like, coach, I'm cold. Tape's off. I said, but if you want me to go back in, I'll go back in. He goes, forget about it. But it was hilarious.
Yeah. I never understood. I always thought preseason was so hard, especially if you were a guy fighting for a job, maybe fighting for a starting job or fighting for a backup job. Either way. Because, one, you might sit for the entire first half and stand on the sideline. And whenever I stood on the sideline, my back would be tight. Everything was tight. And then they'd be like, all right, go in the game. I'm like, what do you mean go in the game now?
I have a pregame warm-up again?
Or you're fighting for a starting position and you go play and then you're out and then you go back in. I mean, thankfully I never had to do that. But I actually felt bad for the guys up front. I'm like, man. That's not easy. That's a hard – and I'm being serious now. I'm not being facetious. That is tough. For the guys who sit around for three quarters and then say, listen, it's time to go in the fourth quarter, especially if you're a big guy, you've been sitting on that sideline and you are stiff.
Do you know the guys I feel bad for tomorrow night? Are you looking at the depth chart? You know, Roy Miller's out. Mm-hmm. Senderek Marks obviously is not going to play.
Jared Odrick's out.
Odrick is out. Tyson Alualu will play, but, you know, some of these guys that are going to be starting tomorrow night, which are going to be the stars, which are typically a backup, you know, like Tyson Alualu, Avery Jones, and Ziggy Hood, and Andre Branch, you don't want to play those guys a ton because they're in your rotational depth chart for the regular season, right?
Yeah, sure.
So, Richard Ash, Eric Kroom.
I don't feel – it's a great opportunity,
they're going to
Jeff.
Play a ton, but Tony's right. There's two ways to look at it. One is that you feel for the guy because he's going to have to play a lot.
No, I never feel for the young guys if they get an opportunity to play a lot. I feel for the older guys who have to play a lot in the preseason. The younger guys?
Sure, the young guys love it.
But Richard Ash should be doing high fives right now that Roy Miller is out.
They have a tremendous opportunity to put good stuff on tape for this team and any other team around the National Football League.
Because the reality is a lot of those guys won't be around.
No,
some of those guys
And I think
might
that's a
around.
Hard thing for a lot of young players to understand in the preseason. Because all of a sudden they see themselves maybe as, you know, fourth or fifth on a depth chart, and that's what they become consumed with. But they don't understand because they've never been in the environment that the NFL is. They don't understand that they're not just necessarily fighting for a roster spot here. They're fighting for a job with 31 other teams as well. And if they and there's some guys that realize it, but there's a lot of them that don't, and their body language is bad because they're fourth team or they're fifth team. But the ones that are smart understand it and do the best that they can so that they can end up either with another team or on a practice squad somewhere to continue to develop and continue their careers.
Well, especially if you're a big guy. If you're a big offensive lineman, there's not that many. I mean, offensive line play in the last number of years I think has gone down a little bit. Just overall. I mean,
we've talked about that
before. Yeah, I mean, the whole league's – I mean, there's been articles about it. I'm not saying anything critical. I'm just saying that is the
opinion. I think you're being critical. I think you are.
That's the opinion, and I think Jeff would agree. And because there's just not – there's only so many really big guys in this on planet Earth that are really athletic. There's just not that many guys who can do it. And then also I think there's changes in the college game that slow the development of offensive line. I say all that. If you're one of the guys, if you're a Cody Booth or – a Jake Rummels or a Chris Reed or a Brennan Williams, Sam Young. I mean, these guys who are going to play a lot of snaps tomorrow night, it's a great opportunity to put really good film out there because if you're a big guy and you show you're athletic and you show you can block people, you'll get a job. You'll get a job on one of these 32 teams around the league.
Well, so, you got practice squad, which is now what, 10?
Yes, it is.
It's 10.
So 63 guys are going to be around. Which is so funny because you
– Well, what did it used to be? It used to be like five.
I don't know. It's changed constantly.
Five or six or something. Now it's 10, and they've expanded.
So where do they go to that parameters. Last week? 70 guys before the last cut down?
Well, you go
65?
90 to 75, and then 75 right to 53, but it's really not –
75 to 63. So 12 guys.
No. 75 to 53.
I know, but there's 10 guys on practice squad.
Right.
So you think about it, really, I mean.
Right. But here's the thing. A lot of teams, when they get to
– there's a lot of jobs out there.
Some teams will cut guys at 75 because they don't want to let them get more tape exposure to sneak them onto the practice squad at the next cut. So, I mean, sometimes there's a little bit of gamesmanship by the general managers and the teams to limit the exposure of some players that they know that they can't keep on their roster. They're 53, but they want to get onto their practice squad.
And make no mistake, there are scouts for every team watching every preseason game, right?
Oh, buddy.
Well, even if they're not in person, they're watching the tape.
They're watching every bit of it.
Exactly.
They will have – in fact, it's interesting because, you know, from talking to Dave Caldwell, and his staff over the last couple of years to talk about the dynamic is that, you know, they evaluate the rosters of every team around the National Football League so that they know, for example, like the first year that Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley had the job, they had an idea of which team had a surplus at each position so that they would watch that team and evaluate that team knowing that there would be a couple good players cut that they could add to their roster. So they've already evaluated all of the 31 other teams in the National Football League to get an idea of who may be available to them that they could actually acquire that could make them better here, which is amazing to me. So it's not just about evaluating your own roster and the college players. Yeah. They're continuing to evaluate the rosters of every team in the National Football League and identify the talent that they have and the depth that they have at every position to know which team it's more likely that they could get a guy at this position from. Pretty neat.
Was it 90 times 32? I was not a math major in Tuscaloosa.
90 times
2,700.
2,700. No, it's actually
ballpark.
2,880.
Yeah.
2,880.
So, what, 40, you know, 38 of those, 37 of those won't be around at the end of the roster, right? They'll get cut, right?
37.
53 to 37 will get cut at the end of the day, right?
So 37 times 32. Yeah. So
whatever that
don't
is.
Ask
about
1,000,
right around 1,000, yeah. Just over 1,000.
There you have it, 1,000 guys with, you know, with 10 times 32, 320. Half of those guys will get signed on practice squads.
And I guarantee you.
Oh, no, a third of them, yes.
They've got.
Matt, they told you, I was not a math major.
Well, you went to Alabama, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Stay away from
that'd
big numbers.
25% ballpark.
Whatever.
But that's the amazing thing is that they evaluate all of these players like that. I mean, we're talking a significant number,
sure.
And they've got grades on it, et cetera, and they pinpointed the ones, the teams to watch. I mean, it happened in Seattle when they were able to acquire, you know, Lotulelei and also the safety that didn't last very long last year. But they were able to say, hey, look, we realize that they're going to cut a player that could help us and be on our roster. So it's just interesting to see that. So players, you know, we're talking about the players and their attitude towards the game. These young players that are fourth and fifth on the depth chart, they need to say, hey, look, this is a great opportunity. But not for an opportunity necessarily here, but elsewhere as well.
What was that face you made when I couldn't do math? I mean, you looked in pain.
I'm embarrassed for you and by you.
Wow.
Well, we have calculators on our phone.
I mean, I have webbed feet. I can't use my toes to count.
Well, my goodness. I mean, let's just move on.
I mean, yeah, please. Okay, it just seemed a little
personal. You went to Alabama.
I didn't take any math classes.
Should have been expected.
Took three math classes.
Should have been expected.
4 years. 4 years.
Should have been expected.
Whatever. Big night for this offense, too. The big unveiling for the first time under the lights. It's not the full unveiling. We kind of get that.
Well,
nobody's seen. The fans haven't seen the offense.
They're going to drop. They're going to drop the curtains.
Honestly, Jimmy, you just made it sound like this is like, here we go. Here's the shiny new car. Woo! Like they're going to show everything.
I got a little feeling of prices right there when the curtain opens up.
Yeah, I mean, come on. First of all,
I'll take curtain number two, please.
It's
going to
be very vanilla, like every other NFL team. The preseason, you're going to only get to see bits and pieces of what they're going to do. It's the first preseason game. I doubt you'll see the starters any more than a quarter. So let's not – I mean, listen.
Okay.
What it is exciting about is not the unveiling of the new offense. It's really just the first look at this team and the potential that it can be on both sides of the ball and some looking at young players. That's what I always get excited about this first preseason game is you get a glimpse – of what you're going to be first and second, I mean, the first offensive defense. But after that, I want to see the young players.
Yeah.
Because they're going to get extensive time.
If you had to pick
one player. I want to watch A.J. Cann.
Same here.
I'm looking forward to watching A.J. Cann. I want to see Rashad Green, what he can do. Everyone says he's the fourth receiver. It's a given. Well, I want to see him.
I hope
he gets a chance to return punts.
Let me ask you this, okay? If you had to pick one rookie that you can't wait to watch, who would it be?
I just said A.J. Cann.
Okay. If you had to pick one veteran that you can't wait to watch, who would it be?
One veteran?
That's
good.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Luke Joeckel in the first series. Mm-hmm. I mean, the first quarter. I want to watch Luke.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite defense I got to watch is Talvin Smith, just because I like watching.
Oh, absolutely!
I'm excited to see Dan.
But
Scuda.
There's got to be some
third
intrigue.
Down, if they get a third down, watching Scuda possibly rush. will be good. I'm looking forward to watching Nick Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait to watch him. I think it's a great signing. I think he is super athletic. I mean, I don't know if he's going to make the 53-man, but I think he's a practice squad for sure.
I bet he makes it.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised.
Here's a question.
There's some guys I'm excited about watching.
I had an interesting question about him from Mike Dempsey earlier this week. And he said, could he play safety?
Marshall.
Yeah. And my answer was, is that first of all, he's a player that's making a switch from quarterback to defensive back. Let's not put too much on his plate. But if he's that good of an athlete, you know, at some point in the future, I could see that.
The answer is yes.
Yeah.
That's the short
not
answer.
This year, no, but in the future.
You don't want to put too much on a young player. I mean, he's just trying to make the transition right now. But I agree with Jeff. He's 6'1", 210, runs 4'5". Rangy out there. You watch
good
him.
Ball
he has
skills.
Amazing
you
ball
heard,
skills.
You hear what Gus just talked
about?
He
played quarterback.
He said, name me the best guy who's got the best ball skills. He's Nick Marshall.
Well, we forget this guy threw this guy threw for like 3,000 yards.
Yeah, he did.
And Auburn. I mean, the guy's an athlete. He knows
here's a bonus.
But he knows quarterback. Well, I mean, hey. He's so back there. He knows offense. He's a smart guy.
Another great guy to have is, now you can always have a two-quarterback roster because you essentially could have three. He could be your third guy in emergency situations.
Not if he's your starting
guy. Listen to this guy. Tap the brakes a little
ridiculous.
Bit over here with that.
So
okay.
Dumb.
Jags fans, this season we're giving you more. The Jags have teamed up with the Nimnik family of dealerships and will be giving away a 2015 Buick Encore. For more information and to enter, visit Jaguars.com/Encore. We'll talk a little offense. We'll tap the brakes on that, too, coming up. It's Jaguars Thursday.
Unveil it, JP. Come on, unveiling.
The curtain's
going to
come up in just a moment. It's Jaguars Thursday.
Shiny new object.
On Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
The Jaguars Back to Football Kickoff Luncheon is back Tuesday, September 1st at Everbank Field. Join Jags owner Shad Khan, President Mark Lamping, GM Dave Caldwell, Head Coach Gus Bradley, and Jags players, and celebrate the partnership of the business community with the Jaguars. Reserve your premium table and tickets today at Jaguars.com/BTF Luncheon. Welcome back. JP Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Jeff Lagerman, and this portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Fanatics.com. Tony, you have the floor.
I have a comment.
Hit me.
I like Jeff's response on this. Looking at this board, and Jeff does an amazing job. He creates a board for us to look at every week. Color-coded. I'm not sure what the colors mean, but it's really pretty.
Yeah, you do. You know what I mean.
It makes me really excited. I know the greens are
flashy.
Greens are rookies. Yes. Red's out. You got a new one with Chris Clemens. Brown must be personal reasons.
It's kind of gray.
Gray personal reasons.
Non-football injury.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Senderic's kind of a pink. That means
that's
he's
kind of a
gonna
pink
come back.
Injury, but eligible to be back.
The bluish gray is starters for the Jaguars.
That's correct.
And the yellow is starters for the Steelers.
That's correct.
Yeah, it's very well done.
And so if you'll notice, the coaching staff has titles that are also color-coded.
Very well done. It's really very
little,
well done.
I'm a little anal when it comes to my board.
It's very
11
well done.
By 15 is that what that is? Yeah.
Right. No, I think it's 11
no.
by 18.
18?
No, it's even – it's 18. Yeah,
it's
tops 18.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway.
Anyways, so I was noticing as I was looking through this outstanding piece of work, and Jeff does it all by himself. I can't thank him enough for this.
He's computer literate.
He's very well done. He's been doing it for years. People actually pay. A lot of people pay people to do this.
That's right.
Jeff does it himself for us all. So now to my point. Looking at our defense, Jeff, through all the colors.
Yes.
We are so dang thin at linebacker.
Yeah.
I mean, and I've known that. We've talked about it. But looking at this board,
they're
thin.
Now, what do you mean by thin? They're three deep across the board.
No, I'm talking about guys who you
– I mean, as far as trying to determine who's going to make it.
Well, no, but guys you can trust that you know what they can do.
If somebody goes down,
thin.
Trouble, right?
I mean, I know we all like Jeremiah George, but he played a half in Cincinnati.
That's it. Not had a high ankle sprain.
Okay, Kari Fort –
He came on after that
special teams
game,
guy, and that was it.
That's right.
Last year,
no idea. Okay. The only guy we have any idea what he can do on defense is Leroy Reynolds, and he lost the job last year.
Right.
It's like three different guys.
Right.
I mean, literally.
But the positive thing, you know, and I was thinking about
this. Leroy's a good special teams. What I see here, Jeff, is we have a lot of good special team players at linebacker, but I don't know how many guys can play linebacker the first three.
Let me add this to that. Because when I was doing the board, my thought was is that yes, they aren't. There's not a lot of who can make it. You know, there's not a lot of competition. But here's the thing: in the first 3 years under Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell, do you ever remember a year to where you knew who the starting linebackers were gonna be?
No, I mean listen,
no.
Our top three are good. It just
but that was my point.
It just stands out here, Jeff. Yeah. To me, is honestly every other position group on the field has depth of guys you know have played and kind of know what they can do. With depth. I mean, defensive line, we are so deep. There are going to be good players getting cut. We have three Leos with your first rounder getting hurt. Still three Leos that have played significant time that you have confidence to go play the position. I mean, you have three big defensive ends if you count Avery Jones as a guy who can go play either one. You're too deep. Two deep at both interior guys, and really three deep if you count Jared Odrick, who can play at three technique. I mean, you look at corners, you're deep. At safety, while you might not know who your free safety is, you're deep because you got Sipp, you got Evans, guys who started games. Craig Lawson played, he's a special teams guy. You have Sergio Brown, who's a starter, who has started football games. I mean, so you have depth, and the same thing on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, the receiver position is young, but you have depth. But I look at that linebacker core. I mean, it is so thin with experience. I'm making no comment whether they're good football players or not. We are razor thin as far as experience, though.
That's a position where when cuts happen, they can go to another team and get a guy that's been cut, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so probably contribute.
Yeah, that's easy. Let's go to Publix.
Yeah, just go over there. Where shopping is a pleasure.
Just go to Publix and pick up a linebacker.
No, I mean, if there's one available, that'd be a way to shore that up right away.
Now,
Jeff,
tell me how this works. Because JP makes a point, there's going to be guys who get cut.
Thank you.
When does the order goes off of last year's
All the way through preseason.
All the way through preseason.
So it changes in the regular season.
We pick third. So we get third choice out of any free agents that were cut.
Right. We're third in line in the waivers claim.
Right. So that helps us. So if a guy who we think can play gets past the first two, we're gonna be in the top 10% of picking.
I'm excited about Jeremiah George. Kerry Ford, I want to see more of. You know,
You don't want to see more of Jeremiah George? You saw half.
No. I'm saying I feel good about him, and I have a feeling that what I'm going to see out of him is good. I feel good about him. Not proven wise yet, but I'm excited to see him because I think he has some skills. Leroy Reynolds is probably flying around better than he ever has. He looks faster than he ever has.
He's a little lighter than he was last year, too. That's why.
He looks good. Now, I mean, these guys, you're going to be asking them to play special teams for the most part.
That's what they are.
You know, so if you had an injury, you'd like to have a guy that has had starting experience and then is a very good special teams player, and they've got a proven track record. But, hey, look, you're in year three of a rebuild. That's just not the way it works. I mean, if you're going to build it from the ground up, you go find your own guys.
Like, who's Todd Thomas?
I have no idea.
That's what I want to know. I want to know today from this show, JP, who's Todd Thomas? I want to know this.
Well, he's a free agent linebacker from Pittsburgh.
How many people know who Todd Thomas is that he's on our
team? Well, nobody does.
Yeah. I didn't know until I looked at this board, I'll be quite honest.
Thurston Ambrister is a guy.
I knew Thurston.
You want to watch him some.
Did you know Todd Thomas was on the team before you made this board?
I did.
Barely, though.
Not much. Yeah, not much.
Maybe Todd Thomas is a heck of a player. I hope he is. It's just that's the one position group. I mean, I think we need to get – you know, you have questions all over, which is exciting because I've been the one – I've been on – out of the three of us talking about, you know, everyone gets excited about OTAs.
And, well, you're a glass half empty kind of guy.
No, that's not true.
You are negative.
I've not been
time.
Negative. I've been saying I want to see the first preseason game, and that's when I'll start getting excited about guys. Like Blake Bortles, like the receiving corps, like whoever. That's why, and now it's here. So I'm excited. I can't wait to tomorrow night. Can't wait for multiple reasons. One, we're only like 3.5-4 weeks away from the regular season. That's the most exciting part. But two, real football on the field with different colored jerseys trying to hit each other, and you get to hit the quarterback, and you're going to see what the quarterback can do under some pressure.
It should be a good crowd tomorrow
night. I think it's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's outstanding, and there's a lot of questions that need to be answered, and I'm asking them.
You always ask them. Gus Bradley was asked today what he wants to see out of Blake Bortles tomorrow night.
Again, his understanding. You know, we talked about his ownership of the offense. So, you know, his crispness, his sharpness, his making the ability to make checks, to execute the offense, and, you know, to lead this group. So, you know, the management, communication that takes place. So, granted, I mean, we don't really, you know, it's more of like a rules game where we're going there with our offense. Not so much a game plan. We have a ready list. So it's more of a training camp mentality to go in there and continue to execute.
So, Tony, you might not get all the answers to the questions you have, but you'll get maybe a good feeling after tomorrow.
I'm going to give one question that got alluded to but didn't specifically mention, because I agree with everything you said there, but I'm going to add one, what I want to see. I want to see how precise his decision-making is in the pocket.
In the pocket.
In the pocket. I want to see how quickly he makes decisions, goes through his reads, and how the ball comes out of his hands. Because if it comes out smooth, I'm not saying he has to make the right choice all the time, but I mean his decision process is quick, smooth, that means he has a grasp of what's going on. That's what I've seen on the practice field. That's what I saw on the scrimmage. Protection was terrible early in the first two drives, so you can't. I don't think you can judge Blake by those first two drives. After that, protection got better. Boom, decision making was great. That's what I want to see, is how quick his decision making. That's my question at the quarterback position.
You know,
I can go position by position questions if you'd like.
We've got 30 minutes left in the program. We might be able to do that tonight, okay. Tony. How about that?
But that's what I want to see from Blake. Just that, I mean, everything Gus said, and add that.
How about we come back and talk about this offensive line?
That's, I have questions.
I know you do.
And there's answers.
And are there?
Yes.
We'll look forward
to
those.
Some of them have been great answers so far in camp so far, to see if they carry over to the game.
Back by popular demand, the Jaguars 5K Stadium Challenge is Saturday at 5:30. Enjoy the unique course inside and around Everbank Field under the lights. For more information and to register for the race, visit firstplacesports.com. That's the number one, stplacesports.com. Offensive line talk and more after this. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida, the official waste provider of the Jags. They've been proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. Jaguars Thursday rolls along. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Vaselli, Jeff Lagerman. Quick look at the injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. Six players ruled out for tomorrow night's preseason opener. T.J. Yeldon with a sprained finger. Marquise Lee with a hamstring injury. Jared Odrick with a knee injury. He's been off to the side all week. Roy Miller out with a knee as well. Peyton Thompson, hamstring injury. Neil Sterling with a hamstring injury as well. Before the break, we promised offensive line talk. Tony, you have some questions, we hear.
Oh, questions. I mean, things I'll be looking for. Excited to see. Let's say that. Let's be positive. Glass half full.
Wait a minute. Hold on. So now all of a sudden you want to be positive.
I'm always positive, JP.
Last segment, you're very negative. I got questions.
I
got answers
questions
about the line.
I got questions.
Which is it?
Well, I'm looking forward to big. Jeff and I have been talking about the big center battle between Buenco and Wisniewski. Great opportunity against a 3-4 team with some big old boys playing nose. Steve McClendon, 6'4", 320, they say.
He's a good player.
And he's bigger than that.
Yeah, he's a good player.
And their backup, Daniels McCullers, is only 6'7", 352. Ooh. So it's going to be great, because one of the questions I have about Luke Buenco, who is the more athletic, how does he hang in there, and how does he handle a big nose in his zero technique, which is head up, especially holding the firmness of the pocket, the depth of the pocket as Blake drops back. I think that is something I'm really looking forward to watching as he gets that big.
But let me ask you this, because, you know, the center position, and I asked Gus about this, you know, you'd like to make that decision sooner rather than later. If you had to make your mind up now, who would you choose?
I wouldn't.
Why?
because it's too early. I would.
When would you want to make it?
Third,
I mean,
preseason,
as an offensive line. Third preseason game, who you start in that game, you'd like to go ahead and roll.
I would announce it because I'd say, listen, Luke, you're starting game one. And I'd tell him, you're going to get more. You're going to play a quarter. Wisniewski, you're playing the second quarter of game one. And then, Wiz, you're going to start game two. And, Luke, you're going to back up game two. And then we're going to make a decision going to week three, and that's who our starter is going to be. Right. That's what I would do.
Gus today said that Boyka will start, but they will rotate those two.
Yeah, and then that'll be interesting to see how they rotate. But my question to you is this. Haven't you seen enough to kind of make that decision?
No,
already?
I have not. I want to see it in game. This is a great test for me, Jeff, because I want to see with a big zero. Because would you not agree the one if the weakness right now, and I'm not saying it's going to be this way because he's such a young player, of Luke Boyko, because he's a tall player. What do they have listed him at? 6'6". I think he's taller than that. He's probably closer to 6'7", but he's a full 6'6", mm-hmm. or a real 6'6". He's long, and for a center position, he's extremely athletic. So great at reaching, great at getting up to the next level. Where he struggles is that big nose right in his face, one-on-one pass blocking and holding the firmness of the pocket. Right?
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
And so I want to see, I mean, that's important. We play a lot of 3-4 teams. How does he handle it? Is it something we're going to have to slide all the time? Is it something they have to help? Wisniewski, not as athletic, a little more squatty body, can get up underneath him a little bit better. Different styles, and I want to see how they handle it. I think right now Luke is the more athletic guy.
But if you had to make a decision right now, who would you
choose? I wouldn't.
But if you had to, what we do.
Yeah, come
Tyler
on.
Shatley.
You'd make him.
Just because I'm not making a decision. Okay, who would you make?
I mean, if it were me, I would take Boyko right now. But I mean,
why? Based on what?
I think the ceiling is higher.
Yeah.
Okay, but
Wahoos.
Because I think when you
ceiling's
watch them
higher,
practice,
but Jeff, and listen, I'm a Boyko guy.
They're pretty even.
Yeah, they're even. Okay,
so second year guy, fifth year guy, one's more athletic.
But here's the thing. Let me ask you. Come on, if you're Gus Bradley, and you are Greg Olsen, and you are Doug Marrone, and this is a team that won 4 games, 3 games. Are you saying, hey, let's just build for the future? You know, Boyko has a higher upside. That might be true. The question I'm asking myself, if I'm the head coach, if I'm the offensive coordinator, and I'm the line coach, who gives me the best chance of winning today? Not 2 months from now, not 2 years from now.
See, he brings up a great point right
today.
There. See, the decision-making process probably
that's how
has
I would
changed.
Decide
could
it.
Change a little bit.
Yeah.
Sure.
You don't want Blake on his backside in year two.
I want to win football games. I'm not worried about Blake. I'm worried about everything. And so I'm saying if Luke Boyko is the best player, and the reason I won't make a decision right now, I don't know who's better based on what I've seen. Yeah. It's too close, and I think tomorrow's a great test.
It is close.
The other thing I can't wait to watch up front is A.J. Ken. Jeff and I talked about it.
Well, we had a conversation about it this week.
I'd argue right now, based on what I've seen.
But what? You're making a decision already.
I'm not making a decision. No, I'm not. I said so far, based on what I'm seeing, mm-hmm. I'm not so sure he doesn't give you the best chance of being the best offensive line right now. I'm not saying I'm making a decision. I'm not giving him Zane Beadle's job because what I want to see – can he translate the power that he plays with in practice and what I saw in the scrimmage to a regular into a preseason game when he's playing guys with different color jerseys on?
What is Zane Beadle's not shown you in camp then?
He does not have the power of AJ Ken.
Doesn't have near the power. But I don't know if anybody has the power of AJ Ken. I mean he's got something very unique, and that's the ability to move people like Parnell does. There's not many offensive linemen in the league.
I mean, right now you got Parnell is powerful. Brandon Linder is
extremely powerful.
Powerful guy. I think Boyko and Wisniewski are both guys who are strong. They're not
Wisniewski's not powerful.
They're not overpowering guys.
That's one thing I think that, you know, when we talk about Wisniewski and Boyko,
right.
I wouldn't put Wisniewski into the power category,
no,
but a little bit more powerful than Boyko, but not into that powerful category.
Some more natural leverage in the pass against a big nose. AJ Cann's a powerful dude, man. I mean, the guy moves people off the ball. I mean, he's physical. He holds the line of scrimmage. He's athletic. I just like what I see out of him.
I guess this was last week, Tony? They do a drill, and it's basically what we used to call pace party. You know, it's offensive linemen versus defensive linemen.
One-on-one. You're not supposed to move the guy. In the NFL, You're supposed to have a great collision. And so if I was going against, like, Jeff or T-Brack, by the nature of my weight, I might move him a yard off the ball. I mean, if I really got good leverage. It was a win if they stalemated
Most
me.
Of them are stalemates.
But, so the way I looked at it, against a good player, okay, my expectation is get about a yard, maybe yard and a half of good movement. And then they're just good football players. They're going to get leverage, and they're going to sit down. If I got a stalemate just because of my size and my job, I means I missed with my hands, and they won the hand battle, and we got stalemated. Okay, so that was my thought process. Maybe I'm not thinking high enough. A.J. Cann's moving guys 3 yards off the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, 3 yards off the ball.
They're not backup guys.
We're talking like Leon Searcy
like
movement.
Like moving off the ball. I mean, come on.
I mean, he's got some incredible power.
His power.
He's showing more power in camp than what I really expected. I knew that he had a really good, strong inside arm. But, you know, South Carolina threw the ball a lot, so he never – I don't know how much power football they ran. But watching A.J. Cann in training camp, it's been impressive.
So, to me, the game-on battle right there. I don't know if it was a battle going into camp, game-on battle.
Let me ask you. From this perspective.
Throw it up there, job in the air.
Okay, from this perspective, a year after paying Zane Beatles what
care.
They did.
I don't care.
Does that come into the decision factor
not.
At all?
No, if you want to win football games, no. It better not.
No.
It better not. You better not be thinking about salaries.
Pride.
You better not.
The guy who
Guess what?
Him?
If you have pride and you don't cut a guy because of pride, you're going to get cut.
Those days are gone.
Let me tell you how that works. If you are worried about covering your rear end because you made a mistake a year ago and you don't want to admit it this year, then you're going to be the mistake. That you can't do that. Yeah, I mean, get over it. No one cares. And I'm not saying Zane's a mistake. I'm not saying
like what Tony was talking about the coaching decision who to play center. You know that your decision making process might be a little bit different for a coach right now.
Yeah, sure.
That might be the same thing for a general
manager.
Sure
it is. And I'm not saying Dave is going to cover his rear end. I'm saying in general, if that's your mentality.
That's why I asked the question.
Don't think that's Dave's attitude, and that's not. I don't think that's his mentality. And by the way, I'm not saying they should cut Zane right now. I'm not saying AJ's won the job. I'm saying the job is in the air, and I'm looking forward to seeing what AJ can. If AJ can does in the preseason over the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, what he did in practice.
He's the guy.
Hard not to give him the job.
Who's he pushing off the ball, though?
Pretty much anyone.
I mean, take your pick.
He's not.
He had a block the other day, and it was funny because, you know, they did this little kind of like a, I guess you could say a mild 9-on-7, which is a run drill. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, they don't have the running backs over there or anything. It's just offensive line versus defensive line, and it's more for footwork, steps, et cetera. They completed that. They go over to a team drill. And Tony, I'm sitting on the cooler. Farther back off the sideline. Tony is standing in front of me about 5 or 6 yards. And what was it, like 15 plays?
Yeah, I walked back
15
there.
Plays, he walks back to me. And as he's on the way back there, I said, if it were me, I'm putting A.J. Cann in the starting lineup right now. And he goes, I was walking back here to tell you the same thing.
Exactly right. So I'm looking forward to that. The other thing is Luke Jokel. I want to see if he's – I mean, he's gotten better, in my opinion, during training camp. And I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, how he's going to work against Jarvis Jones, who I think's okay. I mean, he's not a power guy.
I hope James Harrison plays.
James Harrison's a power guy. We'll find out if he can hold up against that. Steven Tuitt's a head-up two-gap guy. Now he'll power you, but I always thought those big head-up two-gap guys that the way I'd play him in the 3-4 is like, listen, just set a line of scrimmage. They're going to two-gap you before they do anything, so just get your hands on them. It's over. So I don't know if it's a matchup I expect Luke to win. I'm looking forward to watching that. And then lastly is just the swing tackle battle, Josh Wells and Sam Young / Austin Pasdor. You know, who's going to be the swing tackle? Right now I'd give the advantage to Josh Wells just because of the athletic ability, what he can do to play left tackle. He's the best left tackle of the swing guys. But so that's real interesting. That's the offensive line in a nutshell. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it.
One of the storylines with fans this week, there was, I think, a tweet earlier in the week from like a vine of one-on-ones where Jokel, you know, a vine of a little short second, 7-second clip, video clip.
Thing, oh, okay, good.
Of Jokel getting beat by Ryan Davis.
Sure.
And fans are freaking out about this.
I was there for that.
He got beat twice.
Right. But it's still too early. You can't – that's like one practice, right?
It's one-on-one pass pro.
Two plays. I mean, one play, I guess, that was on the video. But, I mean, Ryan Davis back-to-back beat him both plays.
Yeah, he beat him good. I mean, give Ryan credit.
Ryan Davis is no slouch.
Everybody's all over Jokel because of that little video, though. I mean, maybe more than that. But, I mean, it's not valid yet, right? It's too early.
What do you mean? It's valid that he got beat.
Well,
yeah.
Yes, I get that. But
let's give Ryan Davis credit. He won.
Right. But the fans being all over Jokel, that being the start of it, I don't know. It's a little much.
Well, I'll just say this.
Let's look at tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night. I mean, that's where it starts. I agree. That's my whole point. It starts tomorrow.
There was no Vine when I was playing. I'm sure there was days. What was that guy? Remember Jabbar Threets?
Jabbar Threets. Number 98.
98. Jabbar Threets was like the fifth Leo. He was like the guy who bounced up and down from practice squad to regular roster. I mean, he was a great guy. And after I'd go with Brack, because I always liked more reps in one-on-one. So I'd go against Brack, and Brack and I were, you know, 50-50. I mean, we'd win. I'd win, he'd win, whatever. Great pass rusher. But Jabbar Threets, I would win most of the time. But there were days when Jabbar Threets in one-on-one would beat me. So if you took a Vine of one rush with Jabbar Threets, beat me, it'd be like, how'd he beat you? I don't know. It's one-on-one pass rush. I mean, he beat me.
There's
issues
at left tackle now in 1996.
Let's cut him. So I think, listen, so I'm not discounting what Ryan Davis did because that's not fair to Ryan Davis.
That's right.
And I'm not giving Luke Jokel a pass because he should win. But taking the snippet of one play is dangerous. Yeah,
seven That's seconds right. doesn't tell you the whole
it's
story.
It's dangerous in that drill.
That's right.
But he is Ryan, definitely a guy we are going to watch.
Oh, I'm watching him because, listen, Ryan Davis shouldn't beat him back-to-back in my opinion.
Kiss Game Day parking hassles goodbye with a JTA Stadium shuttle. Five convenient park and ride lots to choose from tomorrow night for Jag teams. And all season long, of course. Tickets start at $7. And for more information, visit jtafla.com. How about some New York Jets talk? We'll look around the National Football League when we come back. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio. Check out the all-new Jack Hanania's Infinity of Orange Park. It's brand new and has all the amenities you can dream of. It's like the Taj Mahal of luxury dealerships with a huge selection of new Infinities. This portion of Jaguars Thursday brought to you by your Southern Ford dealers, J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Jeff Lagerman. Let's take a look around the National Football League, and we start off in New York with the Jets. IK and Impali sucker punch Jets quarterback Geno Smith in the locker room. The story is in Impali's charity football camp, he had Geno Smith a flight book to come to Texas to the camp. Didn't show up. Apparently a death close to the family. He didn't go. $600 plane ticket. Geno Smith has a broken jaw. He's out 6 to 10 weeks.
Because Geno wouldn't pay him back the money.
That's right. And IK was cut and then claimed by the Bills off waivers.
That doesn't shock me.
And the personal conduct policy could have come into play here at some point. What do you make of all this to begin with? Not the first time or the last time this is going to happen in a locker room.
Well, locker rooms are full of alpha males.
Yes.
Man, that's, and, you know, look, I don't know the particulars of this, but some of the reports are, I know Ryan Clark had talked about it, he was close to some of the people in the locker room. He's saying that, look, you know, it was a, kind of a disrespect thing and that Geno Smith was sticking his finger in this guy's face, owed him some money, and sometimes that can happen. Now, look, I know that the linebacker, I can't pronounce his name. Say it again for me.
IK and Impali.
IK. Okay. IK probably wasn't expecting to break his jaw, but, I mean, sometimes things happen. If it was just a punch, you know what? Would any of this have happened if it was just a punch and all of a sudden the jaw is not broken?
No, here's the biggest thing.
By the way, have you seen Ennis Pauly's arms?
Is he big?
He's big.
Oh, gosh.
He's very strong. He looks like Greg Jones.
Yes.
Well, then you probably should pay him his money.
Yeah. I guarantee you that if anybody ever owes him money in the future again, he's going to get paid.
I'll just say, if I owe IK money and he has arms like that, or anyone who has arms like that, I'm going to pay him. So here's your money. But the bigger story is this. Not the locker room fight. Because that happens all the time. I mean, my goodness. I could go through, and I'm not going to give names.
Please, why not?
No, because it's not relevant.
It's years ago.
But several times, there's always fights on the field. Sometimes they go into the locker room. Sometimes they go outside the locker room. And guys get in fights, and punches are thrown, and people are bloodied up, and you kind of go on your business. It's part of the deal. They get broken up. If it's bad enough, the head coach might get involved, but you kind of go about your business. It's the way it is. The shocking thing to me in this one is that it's the starting quarterback, because the starting quarterback usually holds a position much different in the locker room, and nobody messes with the starting quarterback.
Which I think is an indication of Geno.
Exactly right. And if someone were to mess, I'll just go back to when we played. If Mark was in someone's face and it was getting to the point where it was going to be a threatening situation, every offensive lineman, whether you liked Mark or not, would have been beating the you-know-what out of IK or anyone else. It doesn't matter.
Oh, buddy.
I don't care who it was. I'm just telling you right now, our group, Searce, Benny Coleman, Tilski, you know, back when Wydell was here, name the group. I don't care whether they were tough guys or not.
I don't think we ever
The one thing that was off limits, you mess with the quarterback.
You don't do that.
We're going to blows.
I don't think we ever had one in the locker room here. I mean, there was some
fight
that happened maybe.
No, we had one after you left.
Place. Yeah.
A couple after you left.
When I was in New York.
I was at one. Oh, there was good bloodied.
We had one in New York.
We had one when I was here and Jeff was here that happened outside the facility.
Okay.
That some people were bloodied.
There was one in New York, and I'll never forget it because we had a CFL guy that the Jets had signed, and I think it was Daniel Lockett or something like that, and very arrogant. And Mo Lewis, who was
another guy you don't mess with. Another guy, if you owe money to, you pay.
Mo Lewis was a third-round draft pick that we had from the University of Georgia. Mo was like 10th-degree black belt in karate.
Yeah, you pay him.
Okay?
I remember coming around pulling on Mo one time.
Incredibly strong.
And I thought I had him. I was going to drill him. And here's kind of same arm, same leg me.
Super strong. Just a little side note about Mo Lewis. Mo Lewis never wore socks on game day or in practice. He went barefoot and then taped the sock to come up to cover his calf to comply with the regulations by the NFL. He always was barefooted in his shoes. But anyway, this Danny Lockett guy was giving him a hard time.
Bad idea.
And got in his face. And within a matter of seconds, this guy, Danny Lockett, I think is his name, and I may have gotten the name wrong, so let me just not say it. This guy,
it's too late. You already said Lockett five times.
In a locker and beaten badly in a matter of seconds. And everybody's like,
okay,
well,
Mo.
We're not going to mess with Mo.
But there was guys, you remember, there was a DB in wide
receiver. It wasn't that big of a deal.
You can't stop Mo either. I mean, what are you going to stop Mo? No.
So the shocking thing to me is about the fact that the quarterback got nothing, then no one did anything.
Which nobody did anything in this instance when we were in New York with Mo because the guy deserved it.
Yeah, but that's fine, but he's not a quarterback. Well, listen, right. There was fights that happened in the locker room multiple times when we were here. Now, maybe not as serious as, like, broken jaw. I remember when DT body slammed Curtis Marsh.
Yeah. Because
Curtis Marsh was mouthing off.
Oh, and picked him up like.
And DT
like,
was the wrong guy. And literally, like.
It was like Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan body slammed him.
I mean, it was awesome.
I remember when there's two guys, I'm not going to say their names, but two.
This is no fun. Come on.
Well, there's two very large 1D linemen, one tight end. Both were African-American players, and both were naked. And they were fighting over what was on TV. They're arguing. And it turned into a fist fight. More of like a wrestling.
A naked fist fight.
Naked, right. Naked with wrestling. And then there was a very large Caucasian offensive lineman. I'm not going to say his name. And this happened right in front of my locker. And we're all showers, so none of us clothes on. And I'm watching. I'm like, I ain't getting near that. You can do whatever you want.
Now that's a fight you're not going to break up.
No.
But one of my friends,
let them figure it.
Very
out.
Large Caucasian.
Rule number one: don't break up a fight between two naked guys.
Yeah, except unless you're somehow this large Caucasian offensive lineman thought it'd be a good idea to try to break it up. So you have two large black players, one large white player, all sandwiched together trying to break up a fight and get it. And you can figure out the rest. It was very disturbing.
I'm disturbed right now.
It was disturbing. And so my point in saying that story is most of the times the fights at the end of them are comical. You're laughing. I mean,
oh, yeah. Even the two that are involved.
Yeah, even because everyone's laughing. It's like, what are you doing? And I only can think of one locker room fight in Jacksonville that ended up with blood and like serious, like too far. That was an issue going into the next week. Most of the time, they're pushing, shoving, body slams, you know, whatever. And the moral of the story, though, is don't ever getting in the middle of two grown men fighting naked.
Tony Vaselli, Jeff Logman, Joe Fortunato. This is JP Shadrick. 4:30 Publix tailgate show tomorrow. 7:30 kick. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.